Hello, and welcome to our new episode of Toonami Therapy here on July 15th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the anime we've been watching, some of which, a good amount of which is on Toonami, hence the name of our podcast. All right. So, I guess we'll just get into it.
Yeah.
Wait, we should. I guess we should mention they announced in a few weeks they're going to have So a few weeks from now, they'll have two episodes of My Hero Academia and two episodes of Food Wars because Dr. Stone will have ended, and I don't know. I guess maybe they want extra time to try to make sure they don't fall behind on Black Clover. And then the week after that, they're going to have a marathon of the Harley Quinn TV series, which I have never seen and know nothing about. So,
yeah, I don't know anything about that either. I didn't realize Dr. Stone was coming to an end so soon.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to note that also, but then I realized that when I look at this, there's still a few episodes left, and this season was only 11 episodes, so...
Yeah. Season's getting shorter and shorter.
It's not as short as the first season of Overlord or Tanya. Those were 10 episodes each, I think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess, based on the manga stuff, season 3 will probably be longer if they want, because the next arc is much longer than this one, so I'm thinking you'll probably need, 20 something episodes to do it, or maybe they'll just split it between seasons, who knows.
Yep.
Okay. So that's the news, although that won't really matter for a few weeks yet. Yeah, I'm double checking that thing I described. That happens a week after Dr. Stone finishes its season. So we'll be doing that, and then we'll presumably find out what the replacement is. Well, I'm not sure if these are two new episodes of My Hero Academia and Food Wars, or if one of them, only one is new and the other is a rerun.
Yeah, that's something they didn't make very clear. So. Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll figure out if we want to check out the Harley Quinn thing or not.
Yeah, that's like, it starts at like 10:30, I think, and continues on to like 5 in the morning.
Yes.
So they really want to promote their new movie, I guess.
Yeah, that's season 1. I don't know much about it. My knowledge of it is apparently there's a bunch of swearing, so I wonder if we'll be hearing a lot of bleeps. So yeah, we might skip on it, we might start watching and then just quit when we get bored, or we might watch the whole... Well, okay, I'm pretty sure we're not going to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll watch until the first one of us falls asleep.
We'll figure something out. Maybe it'll be like, oh, what was that show that they were doing, that like thing that was a sequel to some earlier actually Adult Swim thing, and then I think the episodes were a quarter of an hour and you checked out midway through the first.
I forget what that was. I know you're right, I just can't remember.
It was Gemu Seto Death Beats.
Oh yeah, that's right.
to be fair to the show, I did actually go, that was the second season, I went back and watched a little of the first season, and I still didn't think it was great, but I liked it more. So, but yeah, I just remember that each episode was a quarter of an hour, and didn't finish the first, I think. Or maybe you did watch the first and just stopped at the commercial, I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. All right. Speaking of only watching part of an episode, we come to My Hero Academia episode 98. The problem was when this was airing, when it was airing live, I got distracted by something and I missed basically the first, I had to deal with something else at the house. And I missed the first half and I forgot to go back and watch it.
Yeah, really not much happened, I'll be honest. I was like, I knew you were doing something and I was like, well, there's nothing to comment on anyway. So just pretty much they're battling. And
then thankfully when something did happen, I was back.
Yeah.
Because Deku decides to start going all crazy and unleashing all this power and stuff. And like I said to you before, I mean, people make jokes. Oh, Deku talking with the past wielders of One For All. It's just like Avatar The Last Airbender. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is just like Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, there were multiple times when Aang tapped into the Avatar state, which gives him the power of all the previous Avatars combined. And then, and the first few times he uses it, it causes him to basically go totally crazy and he can't control it. And they have to, you know, get him back to normal. I'm like, that's what happened here. Is this a coincidence or is there an actual influence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, they managed to get Deku back to normal because Shinzo was able to use his mind control quirk on him to calm him down. And this time, Deku can't break free of it like he could the first time because, I still don't really know how he broke free of it the first time. I feel like that was just, like, I guess the power of dramatic convenience.
Yeah. My question is, like, why would he want to go all out in something that's just a silly, you know, training battle? Like, wouldn't you want to save this up for some time that you're up against a real opponent, you know? Like, a bad guy, you know? Instead of doing it in this little, you know, exhibition that they're doing. I don't know why he's allowed himself to, you know, go all out in this. But, you know, of course, as you said, I missed the part where they were actually battling bad guys, you know?
Well, I mean, the point of this was to try to prepare them for that. So going all out is important. The problem was with Deku, it caused him to just go lose control because other things were manifesting or whatever because, well, I don't think we know the specifics of exactly what's going on. I think they mentioned that what's happening is that the powers of the previous people who had One For All are basically manifesting in Deku, which was what caused that to happen. So it's another parallel to Avatar The Last Airbender, because that's literally what happened to the Avatar state. It wasn't just that he lost control and went crazy. It's that he lost control and went crazy while he had the power of every previous Avatar combined. Just like Deku is tapping into the previous powers. Like I said, maybe it's a coincidence. I think I remember reading that Avatar wasn't actually that popular in Japan. But maybe that information was wrong, or maybe it's just a coincidence. But man, that's like some strong parallels.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now we come to Dr. Stone, episode 33. So, the fight continues with things looking bad for our heroes, but Senku manages to invent nitroglycerin. So, and basically manages to use that to make Tsukasa agree to a standstill. Then we get a very sudden flashback from Tsukasa where we learn all about his backstory, which was that his sister was very sick and in a coma or something, and he needed money to take care of her, so he became a fighter and such. And Senku's like, well, we might be able to figure out where she is so that we could, you know, find the statue and revive her, and that would make you really happy. And Tsukasa's like, eh, well, we've only got a few episodes left anyway. Okay. So they're then using triangulation math and explosives to try to figure out, to, you know, open up the ground to find where where his sister was. Yeah, then they managed to do that. So that will be continued next episode.
Yeah. I just was kind of disappointed at, like, how quickly the whole war got solved. Like, I was thinking they were going to have some, like, major strategizing. And it turns out all they needed to do was just have a sob story about Tsukasa and he'd give in, and then that then all of a sudden now he's a good guy now. I don't know, but that doesn't that mean that now everyone in the world is now on Senku's side? I don't know. I just was hoping for something more dramatic.
Yeah, one thing, and I guess I might as well mention this to you ahead of time, is Dr. Stone is very high on having, like, the former enemies turn good at some point. There's like, I'm pretty sure I can count on like one hand so far how many bad guys were actually to this point have stayed bad. And so there's a lot of that sort of thing happening. So just be prepared for that. I think it went on longer, but I think My Little Pony Friendship is Magic has more antagonists that never reformed than Dr. Stone has.
How about Bleach, where we get the sob story for Grimmjow right before he dies, and or supposedly dies. I don't know if he comes back, I'm not a big fan of whenever we have to humanize the bad guy and we have to give him an excuse for everything he did. I'm not a big fan of that, but it sounds like Dr. Stone does it a lot.
It is something the series does a bunch. Not everyone. There are some villains who that never happens to yet.
Yeah, I prefer a Raggio Kiryu and villain. From Kill la Kill, she was defiant to the very end, and I appreciated that from her.
You mean, that was Sasuke's mother, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was trying.
I just can't pronounce her name right.
No, I was just trying to remember, was that her, or whether you were referring to her, or whether you were referring to, I can't even remember. I can't remember her name. The girl who would sometimes randomly just turn to 2D animation. What was her name?
The girl who what?
There's like that thing where sometimes she would just like turn. Like, well, I guess the whole show is 2D, but I mean, she would like turn. She would like look like she was like like the animation would shift for her when she was dodging stuff.
Oh, I don't remember which one you're talking about.
It's she was like the one who lost her arms at one point. How am I forgetting her name? She was important.
Are you talking about Nui Harime?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. There's that weird part where her animation style just shifted completely on a few occasions to be way simpler as kind of a gag.
I see.
I remember that a few times. Yeah, that was her. Nui Har. That was the one other one I was thinking of, but okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that was Dr. Stone.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to say about Yashahime episode 3?
Not really.
If you don't, that's fine. There's no need to force it. I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add on that.
Okay. As usual, if you want to hear what our more thoughts on the episodes were, go back and listen to it when we talked about it originally when we watched the sub.
Yep.
It's much easier now that in all the descriptions for the episodes, we make sure to put what episodes we actually discussed.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on past that to Food Wars, episode 57.
Okay, so, I'm getting confused. What part? Let's see, they were on the train, right? Oh, and they're doing that. oh, that's right. Yeah, they're doing the team battle thing. And whenever they finish the battle, they all say that the other team's is better. And then they get into a big argument over it. And I thought that was pretty funny. But also, I thought it was weird because we actually see Erina cooking something. And I think we've only seen her do that one other time in the entire series, which was that Eggs Benedict thing. And so that was nice. And then they meet out in the snow, you know, Azumi, is that his name?
Is it Azumi or Azami? I can never remember where the stress goes, but Azami.
Okay, yeah, he basically challenges them. And am I right about that? That they did that challenge this week, or was that the week before?
Let me think. Okay. So the last week they did the challenge. This week, I mean, they already had it, but they this was the one where they like more finalized the whole thing, and it was confirmed that Erina would, you know, actually be on the side of the main characters in it.
Right, right. She chose to go up against her father. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. I thought it was a pretty good episode, but it gets more interesting once they actually start the battle. And I really enjoyed that whole argument that they were having between each other. Whatever they're saying that the other one's food was better than their own, and then they get into that argument. That I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. This what did this? Yeah, although when I think about it, I kind of wonder that sort of match thing they had. Didn't really feel like it mattered that much. It like was just kind of there. I don't know. It kind of felt almost like they thought, we're going to get to the big confrontation, but I guess we have to like try to do some training stuff first. Although, no, wait, there's more training stuff coming after this, isn't there? So, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of felt like it was just there because they needed to have another cooking battle. Or because it had been a while since they had one, except it hadn't been a while, so I don't know. I'm probably nitpicking at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was kind of more set up
mm-hmm.
than anything else. So we get to Black Clover episode 158. We're finally done with all the filler, and this episode made it feel even more pointless, all the filler. Okay, let me go through the episode first. So basically, the characters, after doing all their training, are now much more powerful and stuff. And, well, when you have them get more powerful after time skip, you need to have an episode where the characters show it off. Just like One Piece did, I remember. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're trying to free some people from the bad guys, and they, well, just go in and beat up the bad guys, really. And yeah, we find out like a little more about the Spade Kingdom and their plans. But yeah, the episode was mostly just about kind of showing off, hey, the characters are stronger now.
Yeah.
Now, when I say it felt pointless, it made all that stuff feel pointless. Because, okay, so at the beginning, we were sort of pitched. And like I said, I feel like they really tried to stress this just so that people would, you know, watch the filler. We're saying, oh, well, the manga skipped over all this. We're just going to show you what happened during this time skip. And then we got a bunch of stuff that didn't matter. But here's, like, the thing. So, in this episode, suddenly the characters look different. And in the manga, that makes total sense. There's a time skip. You change their appearances a bit. But here, we saw all the stuff during the time skip. And now the characters, even though no real time is supposedly passed between this and the previous episode, are suddenly look different.
Yeah, I was going to say something that Asta looked a lot different. And it confused me. I didn't actually know why that happened. But I did notice it, and I didn't say anything because I thought it was just my imagination. So
no, that's it. And that it wasn't. And it makes you think, well, if they were going to be doing that, why didn't they kind of change the way they looked a bit midway through, and then this would be the continuing of that? It just feels weird because we had all that filler stuff. Also, I mentioned how there were only a few plot points that really mattered during that time skip. And I just realized the time skip didn't even mention them. Like, Finral got engaged. That's a big thing. We didn't see that in any of the filler. He just mentions it in this episode. All those episodes to work with, and you couldn't have just had that happen in an episode? But here it's just he suddenly is, which made sense if you were just skipping over the how long was it supposed to be, 6 months or whatever they spent in the training. If you had skipped over that, it makes sense to say it. But here it just makes it all feel more pointless because it didn't even cover the stuff that was actually important.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
But yeah, but at least this was definitely better than what we had been getting during the filler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely better than the filler. So, yeah, I agree that they should have used the filler time better than they did. So,
yeah, that's what was just striking me because earlier on I mentioned there are only two things outside of characters training and getting stronger that really matter. One during the time skip, one of which was that thing with Finral, but they didn't show that. They just say, oh, it must have happened off screen sometime between this and the previous episode. But, okay. So, anyway, that is our Toonami stuff. So, then we move on to Baka and Test and what, well, may or may not be filler. I have no idea if this is based on some side story from the light novels or if it was in the light novels, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But yeah, this is the first of the two OVAs.
Yeah, so basically it's school festival because every series needs to have a school festival. And for their school festival thing, they're going to do a Chinese cafe or something. And basically you got some, by the way, did this episode seem longer to you than
it was longer. I when it showed the length, this was like 29 minutes. It was like a ReZero episode, season 2.
Okay. Yeah, so basically they, you know, just they have that set up, and then these guys kind of make fun of them, and then they okay, the biggest gag of the whole episode was the most obvious one, was whenever they said they were going to, that they had kidnapped one of the waitresses. And like, if you've been following along, you know instantly which person it is. And I still found it funny, even though I was like, I knew this was going to happen. But it looked like Hideyoshi was playing a game of life. You know, it had that rainbow wheel, spinning wheel in the middle. That's what it looked like. Just pretty much that. And then they announced that there's going to be a tournament where all the classes go through. And if they win the tournament, then they get better equipment. And, you know, the funny thing is they talk about equipment for class, but we never actually see them going to class or anything. So it's like, I don't know. It's a little confusing there. But I thought it was a pretty funny episode.
Yeah, it was decent. I wonder... I don't know. I'm just left wondering whether this was based on something in the original light novels or not, because they do kind of tie it into the fact that they have so little stuff. Like, that was the thing, they were left with so little stuff at the end of the previous season, and it's mentioned here where he says, "Well, you have so little that the only place to go is up." So. Yeah. So it made me wonder, maybe this was there and this was just something they made into OVAs instead of part of the season. I don't know. I am curious. It's a shame that, let me just check something quick. It is a shame that this aired back in, I don't know when it was dubbed, but it was aired back in like 2011, because nowadays all of this, stuff, you just go to like whatever the wiki page was, and then you see, okay, what chapters of the light novel does this correspond to?
Mm-hmm.
So, but since this is older, that was before that. Okay, hang on, I'm actually looking at a wiki. Does it say? It doesn't say anything, but I have no idea if this doesn't specify whether it was from any of the light novel or not, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh! Interesting. It said, I am looking at something. Okay, no, wait, this was in the novel. I'm looking at, like, the trivia stuff, and someone, like, wrote, in the novel, this event occurred after blah, blah. Well, actually, whoever wrote this added, written, it's apparently did not know English well because it's filled with grammar, but I'm just going to read it, okay? In novel, this event occurred after finished the first battle with Class 2A is over. In the capturing part, it is not Hideyoshi who is captured, but Mizuki, Minami, and Hazuki instead, and nearly tortured by the culprits. The culprits are not Tokonatsu duo. The changing events happened per day. Huh. So I have no idea if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But it reads like someone who is not a native English speaker. So maybe they knew the Japanese and were just trying to tell people, hence the bad grammar. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so I don't know if that's the case. It's always, it's impossible. I mean, there's no citation, so who knows? But there's that. So so this may have been something from the light novel. I don't know. If that's the case, then that makes it feel like it has more of a point. It certainly did feel like it fit more into the story than, you know, the Konosuba ones, which I think were completely filler.
Yeah.
All right. So we finished with that. Then we're on Kaguya-sama episode 14. So the first one is where Kaguya is trying to get information on what to get for Shirogane from his sister by going shopping with her. Yeah, there's not, but ends up not really getting any. Then she decides for his birthday to make a really giant large cake, and for some reason, only just before she's about to give it to him, realizes, oh wait, this is way too big. So instead just gives him part of it in a fan she made. And then the third one is we get back to the whole mind games thing where both of them are trying to manipulate the situation to make it seem like the other had a major thing for the other to cheek. Basically, they're trying to make Kaguya was trying to make it seem like Shirogane only told. You know what? I'm not going to try to explain it. It gets confusing, but it's funny. I thought it was funny is the important thing. The best part is when Ishigami just at the end where Chika just like runs out crying, going, "I'm sorry." Yeah. I described that one horribly, but I can't really do it that well.
My favorite part of this episode was that first part. Whenever Kaguya is with that one girl and saying like, oh, she's pretty nice, and then she starts talking about her ideas and turns out like she's like this like sadist who like wants to lock someone up and torture them.
Right, yeah. That was, I didn't even remember who she was. It wasn't, I like was, wait, who is that? And I look it up, oh, that's Chika's sister. She must have been introduced before and I forgot about her.
Yeah.
They do later on in that episode say that she was Chika's sister, so that explains that. Well, my favorite bits were, I like the middle bit where there's that weird thing where the, like, different parts of Kaguya's personality are arguing in a court over what they should do.
Yeah, that was good too.
That was good. That was a fun sort of, I guess, twist on that whole, you know, like the shoulder angel thing. Except, you know, instead of them being like good and evil, they're like the ice queen and the stupid. Let's see, one is like dumb Kaguya, and the other is ice queen Kaguya. But I still think my favorite gag is the part where Kaguya is trying to, in the sort of mind game thing, come up with something to say. And, you know, she's like doing the mental thinking of like, all right, all I have to do is make Chika think, all that stuff. And then while she's simultaneously basically fangirling over the fact that Shirokine is like using the fan she gave him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on the whole, this was a pretty funny episode, I thought.
Yeah, it was. I really liked it, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all three parts of it, not just one or two parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, we were only two episodes in, but this season two has been pretty good so far, I think. Okay. So,
yeah, they had a new theme song, which wasn't bad, but it is nowhere near as good as the first one.
Yeah, if we look at it in terms of the music, I agree. I do think in terms of visuals, this one was funnier. Just I liked it more just because there's that goofy part where Chika just like, you know, jumps in and eats the food. That I always thought was kind of funny. This theme was actually played in the previous episode. It just was during the end credits for instead. This time, I don't know if you remember that, but that's the case. Here they had it in the actual first, the opening, and then they had a different ending that, actually, I can't remember anything at all about the ending. What are times where an anime, because it seems like I can think of all these times, like, what are times where the ending theme for an anime was actually better than the opening? Because I'm just thinking about it, like, all the good anime songs I can think of were openings. They never seem to be endings.
Did you ever see The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya? Because that had a very famous ending theme.
Okay, that, yes, you're right. That's an example. The ending theme was definitely a better and more famous.
That's the thing. I don't even know if it's better than the opening, because the opening is very good too, but the ending theme was definitely more popular, that's for sure. So I love the opening theme to that show too, so it's not really fair to say it was better than the opening, but it was definitely more popular, that's for sure. It was the whole dance craze that went through the anime conventions back whenever I was first attending them. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. That was well known. But I can't really remember the opening offhand, actually, but I do remember I liked that ending. But yeah, other than that, I can't really think of cases where I liked any cases offhand where I thought the ending was better than the opening. Like, even the ending ones other than that, the ending ones I liked, I can think of, I won't put above the opening. I like the ending theme for Evangelion, but it is not as good as the opening.
Did you hear that when they put it on Netflix, they cut out the Fly Me to the Moon from all the episodes?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the Evangelion, like, whenever they put it on Netflix last year, there was so much controversy about it. And one of the things was that they eliminated Fly Me to the Moon from all the episodes, and that really pissed people off. Not to mention that they redubbed it, and like the dub, like they used like a different, it was something about the script they used, but it sounded like so much worse. Like, people really panned this new dub, which was funny because people had for years said, oh, the dub sucks, but now whenever they get a redub, they thought it sucked even more. So people wanted to go back to the original, and people wanted Netflix to bring back the original, but that obviously didn't happen. But yeah, there's a lot of controversy about the Evangelion when they brought it back to Netflix.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear about that. It probably was some sort of licensing issue, although, I'm sure it was a licensing issue, but it still seems a little weird that they didn't. I guess when Evangelion, when they made the rights, they didn't, like, you know, they didn't have it to say, okay, we can use this, you know, in all, like, whenever we distribute the show, from now on. And they then had to, like, you know, they would have to do it if they ever, did another dub or something, or I don't know. But, yeah, it's probably weird rights issues there. That's the reason that some stuff just never comes out on DVD. I've heard that the reason that they've never, unless they have, now in the meantime, let me just see if they suddenly, did it. The reason they never, released, Muppet Babies was because, was because the cartoon used a lot of footage from various like movies and stuff, which, and so they simply would not, they would have to go and renegotiate the rights for every single one again to be able to release it. They got the rights for TV distribution, but they didn't get them for like, you know, stuff like DVDs and stuff, because, you know, no one thought that would actually be a thing that would happen and be necessary. I think nowadays they try to make sure they get all that sort of like, even for future like formats. But yeah, that is why I've heard they've never released that series on, you know, DVD or anything.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I was trying to think of a comparison, but I forget what the comparison was now. A show that has a bunch of like popular songs in it, and then it becomes impossible to put it out because you need to go back and get the rights to all those songs. I think that happened with a couple of shows my mom liked, like Miami Vice and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was an issue. I think that was a reason why I think for a while that the Batman, the live-action Adam West one, wasn't on DVD for so long, because there were, like, weird, convoluted rights issues where, you know, it was basically different parts of the series were owned by different groups. And it wasn't until they managed to, managed to get all that finagled out that it got out. Although, I'm not sure if that was necessarily true, but I've heard that's the case, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. Alright, I guess we can move on to our top threes.
Okay, so, third place this week is Food Wars. Second place is Baka and Cass, and first place is Kaguya-sama.
Well, mine are going to feel a little weird. For third place, I'm going to put My Hero Academia, because despite making fun of it, there was some stuff that was interesting that happened. I admit, though, it is possible that if I had seen the first half, in which not much apparently happened, it would knock it down for me. but I'm just going to judge on it by the part that I saw. Then for second place, I have, hang on just a sec. I had something written for second place, and I'm looking at it and thinking, wait, why did I put this here? Okay, let me redo some of this a little. The one time I make sure to put together something before we record so that I won't have to, you know, be thinking about it on here, I'm looking at it and thinking, I don't think I did this right. So, okay, I'm going to be swapping these out. Yeah, My Hero Academia third, then I'll put Bakken Test for second, and Kaguya one.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, it was kind of a tough... Honestly, it was a tough call. Well, Kaguya was easily first for me, but the other one, it was kind of close between the other ones. I mean, yeah. MHA, I mentioned, it probably wouldn't, like, you know, mostly probably because I only saw part of it. But Food Wars was decent. Black Clover was okay. Dr. Stone, that was the thing I originally had in second place, but I'm thinking, man, Tsukasa's flashback was kind of long and kind of felt like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So this was more tentative, but at least I knew what my top one would be easily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so that's all of that stuff. So I actually had a question, something you mentioned last time, and I was just thinking, it's when we were talking about Tenchi Muyo, and you were saying something about it, how you thought it was like one of the better harem series.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, everyone always calls it harem, but was it really a harem? Because harem, I don't even know how it's pronounced, because from what I remember, and it's been so long since I've seen this, I might have forgotten, but there were a bunch of girls, but it's from what I recall, Ryoko and Ayaka were the only ones that showed any real level of attraction towards Tenchi.
Well, maybe love, like, you know, but it's a harm in like, for example, it's kind of more like the Sword Art Online thing where every girl that Tenchi meets or that Kirito meets, you know, they kind of become attached to him. And like obviously we know he's never going to hook up with Sasami because she's so much younger than her. She's so much younger than him. But it's kind of made kind of like a harem, you know, and that's basically what everyone always considered it. But yeah, you're right that there's really only just the one love triangle, and I think they got the whole thing called the Tenchi solution, which is whenever he resolves it by not making a choice at all. And that's the Tenchi solution.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know that a lot of people do call it a harem anime. And it just seems like people say, oh, it's a classic. But it's just always, I remember even when I was younger thinking that was kind of weird because it never seemed like the others were even remotely serious, partners. Like more a harem, I always, at least personally, define more as something where you actually do have at least three people who could at least be considered plausible love interests. Like I haven't seen it, but I heard the quintessential quintuplets is like that. We Never Learn was a series that was definitely like that, or Nisekoi, that was one even like that.
Yeah, they're like, the show isn't wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon. That, as some people consider a harem, even though there's really only one actual, we don't even have a love triangle in that one. It's kind of, okay, we know that he's going to get together with this certain girl, but he meets a lot of other girls along the way. So,
Yeah, that's kind of what Tenchi felt like, at least from what I saw of it. I'll admit, most of my experience with it was Tenchi Universe. Maybe it was more overt in the other series, but yeah, I mean, I compare it to something like We Never Learn, where, well, that's a little weird one because three of the girls are very explicitly, yes, they have feelings for this guy. One of them doesn't necessarily seem to, seems more playful, and the other one definitely doesn't, at least in the main series, but there is like an alternate. The series had five different endings for each girl. The fifth one, the one I alluded to, that was actually his teacher. She was one of like the routes. And for that route, for obvious reasons, it skips forward like 5 years to when he's an adult. So like, it's not even like a case of like any sort of like you would say grooming. I mean, they're like, he literally like goes off to college to become a teacher, comes back, teaches at that same school, and then, you know, they get together in that route. So, yeah, I should reread that series. It had some kind of very annoying fan service, but a lot of the writing was actually pretty good. But yeah, I guess that was my thought. It just seems to me a lot of times people say, oh, this is harem, and thinking, I don't know, I feel like there have to be at least three girls who at least when I say they have a chance, it's not even necessarily like there's at least attention given to it. Like Nisekoi, there's like how many girls? Like five girls, but there's really only two of them that you can look at the series and think, okay, these characters might end up with him at the end. The others are obviously not going to be the ones.
Well, if you want a a harem series where instead of girlfriends you got sisters, then you can go with Sister Princess, which I've talked about before on this show, which is actually a video game, and there's two endings for each girl. One ending is they're your sister, and then the other ending is, well, you're not technically related by blood, so then it's kind of a romantic ending, and definitely a harem, but kind of in a little different way than most harems. Another one that's kind of similar to Tenshi, but in a bad way, is Oryimo. My little sister can't be this cute, because that one, the main character gets involved with a bunch of characters, but the one he picks, well, let's just say it's wrong. So, the one he goes with is not the right one. So, and you can guess from the title of the show which one that is. So,
one of the reasons I normally have trouble getting into any sort of harem series is, there's a problem that, what if you are like, oh man, I really want him to get with this character, and then they don't, then you're like, well, that's annoying. So it either has to be one where they end up with the character you want them to, which isn't necessarily going to always happen, or it's a series that you don't actually mind. Either you're not, you don't care that much about the romance aspect, or alternatively, you just think they're all pretty good, which was actually one of the things that did work for We Never Learn. Most of them I was thinking, yeah, this was actually, they're okay. You could end up with any of them. One of the ones that I actually didn't think was, I was thinking, I don't know how they necessarily fall in love exactly. That was the one, what was her name? It's been a while. Asumi? I don't know. She was the fourth of the sort of so-called routes. And then I was like, wow, that was actually probably the best of these endings.
Yeah.
But here I am just talking about a series you've never seen or read, so. But, It does seem like some people use it just for like series where there's like a bunch of girls. I mean, like you could kind of qualify Sword Art Online as one of those.
Right.
There's a lot of, how many girls actually fall for Kirito over the course of the series? There's Asuna, there's Leafa, although she gets over it. I don't think any of the other characters actually do fall for him, although he certainly does hang out with a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Remember when they all get together to discuss things and they're called the Council of Waifus?
I was about to mention that.
the Council of Waifus, and also Klein. I mean, who knows? Did he ever have a girlfriend? Maybe he is kind of into Kirito. Actually, that reminds me. I looked it up. And here's something actually kind of interesting. Remember how we watched Excel World way back when? Yeah, I was looking, and the English translated light novels, the official translations anyway, I don't know if there might be some fan translations there already, but yeah, later this year, they will have completely caught up with the Japanese ones.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so now that we've talked about a bunch of extra stuff, that'll be it. One note, next week, due to some schedule things, it's we're either going to probably get the episode up earlier than normal, or we might not do it at all. It's kind of in flux, but we'll see. That's just a quick note there. Let's see, anything else?
Nope, not really.
All right, well, this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find them, at least right now, at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. And we usually try to get the episodes up on Friday. We constantly fail to do that, but that is the goal. It may be up different time this week, but I guess that won't matter for anyone who listens to this more than a week in the future. So, so without further ado, we'll see you next week.
Bye-nee.